Okay, I gotta be quick. No, it's okay. I could not buat lah yang necessary. Okay. So today we're gonna Ephesians 6:18. Everybody say Ephesians 6:18. Okay, so what does Ephesians 6:18 says? Okay, it says pray always. Next slide, please. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Everybody say, pray always. Okay, so the exhortation to pray in Ephesians 6:18 is in the context of spiritual warfare. All right, using this analogy of a soldier's armor, the preceding verses describe the six pieces of spiritual armor that a believer in Christ ought to put on to prepare for spiritual battle in the heavenly realms with evil forces. Like it or not, the moment we are saved by the blood of Jesus, we are enlisted on the army of God. Aware of it or not, there's a war that's going on in the heavenly places, okay? Fighting for the souls of men. Now, it is interesting to note that after Paul describes these six pieces of armor, he changed the analogy to the subject of prayer. So what is the connection between prayer and this armor of God? How do you make this connection? All right, so this is where the connection comes from. A soldier can be equipped for war by putting on the whole armor, but unless he establishes and maintains a line of communication with his commander in charge, he will be vulnerable to the enemy's attack and he will not be able to win the war. Prayer establishes the ongoing communication with our commander in chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he can give us instructions on how to wage this spiritual war and be victorious. So to be victorious in this spiritual war, we need to observe four aspects of prayer as communicated in Ephesians 6:18. Number one, the frequency of prayer. Number two, the forms of prayer. Number three, the force of prayer. And number four, the focus of prayer. All right, I got to be quick, so stay with me, all right? So number one, the frequency of prayer. How much do we need to pray? Come on, how much do we need to pray? How much do we need to pray? So, okay, prayer meeting full. Okay, sorry, that was a joke. Okay, let's look at Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. John, thank you for sending that. That was a prophetic word. Just this morning, John sent a quote, quoting Luke 18, 1 to 8. Now, I tell you, God is very good. Even through tune sharing today, okay, God is already telling us something. Okay, God is telling us to pray always. Really, to pray. Okay, because it's going to come true for us. Luke 18, let's see. Then he spoke in a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Okay. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Okay, why do we lose heart and stop praying? Why do we lose heart and stop praying? We lose heart and we stop praying is because we do not see answers to our prayers. You know, it's like when we have been asking God for something and God doesn't seem to be answering. And we may say, you know, what's the use of praying when nothing seems to be happening? You know, problems in life come to us, sickness, financial problems, and we ask God for help, and then God doesn't seem to come through. Do we lose heart and stop praying? In this parable, we see two characters. The first character is a judge that is wicked, unrighteous, and selfish. The second character is a widow who is seeking legal protection, probably because someone has taken advantage of her. She was helpless, hopeless, pathetic. The story goes on to say that the widow kept going to the wicked judge to seek justice, even though for a while the judge refused to attend to her needs. In desperation, she kept bothering and likely even begging him. Finally, the judge gave in and helped the widow, not because he felt compassion for her, but because he was tired of her complaints. All right? He gave her justice because he wanted to get rid of her. Okay? It was a selfish reason so that he could have a peace of mind. So I want to ask you, in this parable, drawing a parallel that we are, is Jesus drawing a parallel that we are to be like the widow and that God is like that judge? Is Jesus trying to teach us this? Is this parable trying to teach us that we should keep begging God in a manner in which the widow continually bothered the judge? No. This is actually a parable of contrast. A parable of contrast. Jesus is teaching us that we have a good Heavenly Father who is not like that judge. Jesus is teaching us to keep praying and keep trusting in the God who loves and cares for us. You know, the judge is really wicked because he had no fear of God and he had no regard for man. He couldn't be bothered. All right, he gave justice. But on the other hand, our God is a good and loving Heavenly Father. Okay, that is what Jesus is trying to tell us, to contrast this. And then he gave justice, the wicked judge, gave justice to the widow because of selfish reason. Okay, he didn't want to be bothered by her incessant complaint. But what about our God? Yeah, Jesus wants to tell us that God hears our cry. And God will answer our prayers. Not because we bother him, but because we are his children. He knows what we need even before we ask of him. That's why Jesus asks us to keep praying. All right? So how did Jesus end this parable with? The statement that Jesus end. Okay, let's look at it. Verse 6. Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth?" Praying always, connection with faith. What is Jesus trying to say here? The people who pray always are the people who have faith. People who pray always are those who trust their Heavenly Father to answer their prayers. They will keep on praying even though they may not see the results or the answers, because they trust their Heavenly Father who will make all things beautiful in His time. People who pray always are people who trust God. And people who trust God are people who have faith. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. You and I, we need to live by faith. And faith is not something that we conjure up in our hearts. You know, there's a version that says, "The just shall live by his faithfulness." The reason why you and I can trust in God is because he is faithful. Not because walang ito kami mikiya, but because God is faithful, therefore he will answer us. Amen, church? Amen. All right, good. I cover my half of the first point. Okay. So, do we trust God to work things out? Or have we lost heart and given up hope and stopped praying? Will we still trust and believe in God even if we do not see our answers? The exhortation is, let us keep praying, let us keep praying, let us keep on praying, don't give up. Let us trust our loving, kind, gracious, generous Heavenly Father. He will see to it that our needs are met and our causes attended to. Second point, why we should pray. In the context of spiritual warfare now, all right? We should pray because there is a war going on in the spiritual realm. The devil wants to stop and hinder God's blessing from coming to us. Let's look at Daniel 10, very famous passage, okay? Won't talk much about the background, but let's read it, okay? Then he, that's the angel, okay, who came to Daniel and said to me is Daniel, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So this is the explanation. The moment Daniel started mourning, Bible says, it's actually praying and fasting. God heard his prayer by sending an angel to give him a word. However, there was this opposition from this prince of Persia, which is a demon principality, all right, who tried to stop the angel from getting to Daniel. Now, let's observe this. The Bible says that Daniel mourned prayed fasted for 21 days. And also the Bible records that the demonic principality resisted the angel for 21 days. Gom kiu meh? Fast for 21 days, and then the angels was resisted for 21 days. What do you think was happening? There was obviously a war, right? So the question I want to ask you is this. What do you think would have happened if Daniel had prayed and fasted for only 20 days and not continued to pray? What do you think would have happened? You cannot answer. I also cannot. Okay. Maybe for Michael will come. But there's definitely a connection here, okay, between heavenly victory and our earthly prayers. All right, we need to continue to pray and pray it through, because there is something going on around us. The demons, devil is just fighting for the souls of men that we're praying for. So the lesson is this, that we should pray always and pray through, so that the devil will not rob us of God's blessing or even delay answers to our prayers. How many of you know that our prayers can be delayed? The answers to our prayers can be delayed. Yeah. So that's why I tell you, we need to pray, and we need to pray always. Okay, then you say, Raymond, you keep saying I'm praying always. What, you mean I have to come to church every day, bow my knee here, and then I just pray and pray. Is that how we apply the term pray always in our lives? No, Okay. You already got the answer, okay? That was a rhetorical answer. All right, so I believe it is by, the next slide, it is by practicing the presence of God. Okay, this is a term actually used by Brother Lawrence. And who is this Brother Lawrence? 1614 to 1691. Was a French uneducated lay monk who belonged to the Descalced Carmelite Priory in Paris. Okay, so he stayed and worked there in the kitchen as a repairer of sandals for most of his life. Let's learn from some of his sayings, which were compiled in the book, The Practice of the Presence of God. Okay, the first one he says, Brother Lawrence, he says, we should establish ourselves in the sense of God's presence by continually conversing with Him. It was a shameful thing to quit his conversation to think of trifles and fooleries. Okay, so the word there is establish ourselves in the sense of God's presence by continually conversing with Him. The second one, okay, let's read this. For Brother Lawrence, he says that times of busyness does not with me differ from the time of prayer. In the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Supper. So what he's basically saying is that, you know what, whether I'm cooking or I'm washing the floor, those are just as blessed moments as I would be in the presence of God in prayer, the actual prayer time. All right, so let's learn to do this, So in a practical sense, praying always means to have constant, uninterrupted communion in our hearts, thoughts, speech with the Lord in our daily lives, in the midst of all our activities. It is cultivating a sense of His presence every moment of our lives, whether we are waking or sleeping, working or resting. It is the disposition of the soul that is continually looking to God and the stance of the spirit that is at peace and at rest with Him. I don't know about you. For me, when I wake up in the morning, I start my engine already. You know, I think about God. Or rather, He thinks more about me and He gets me up, you know. So, it is something that we can learn how to do. All right, when I'm driving, okay, if you're not as skillful as I am, don't do this. Okay, but what I do when I'm driving is I will pray. Okay, and then now when I see an accident, I will pray. I say, God, please have mercy on that man, you know. Or if there's an ambulance, you know, then I will start praying for the person who is injured or whatever. But it is cultivating this continuum, you know, of prayer in our lives. You know, and you know, like, yeah, this morning, you know, I mean, I don't mean to be not good, yeah, God. You know, sometimes in the toilet, they are the most precious moments where you can be frank with the Lord. Alright, I think I want to read you this something which is not in the slide, but this is from Brother Lawrence. He says, when he sinned, when Brother Lawrence sinned, he's a holy man, but he sins. Okay, how many of you are holy here? Also, I must be the one always sinning, is it? Alright, so he said, he confessed to God with these words, I can do nothing better without you. Please keep me from falling and correct the mistakes I make. After that, he did not feel guilty about the sin. Brother Lawrence pointed out that he spoke very simply and frankly to God. He asked for help with things as he needed it, and his experience had been that God never failed to respond. I give you a key. The key is to be frank with your Heavenly Father. I always find that it is true, and it never fails me, that whenever I talk to God how I really feel about a situation, that's when He gets to me most. I want to encourage church, we need to be frank before the Lord. If you find it very difficult to connect, start from the place of truth. Tell God how you feel. Tell Him what you think. And begin to get into that conversation with Him. He will come. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. Trick question, of course. Since we can practice the presence of God everywhere and anytime, do we still need to attend prayer meetings? Huh? Are you sure? I can be anywhere, what? I pray to God, what? Constant communion, you know. Wow, so powerful. Prayer time is important. You see, you can't. How many of you? Okay, I'm going to ask you. How many of you dare to answer me? Put up your hand. Only two. Three. Four. Okay, I don't know whether it's there, but can you give it to me? Acts 3:1. Is it there? No. Okay, let me read to you Acts 3:1. It says that now Peter and John went up together to the temple. Peter and John went to church, to paraphrase it. And it says this, at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. What does that tell you, church? That there is a set time for prayer. And for these 2 months, the set time for prayer is 9 to 10 a.m. every Sunday from November to December. Okay? Silence! I didn't say, yeah. The Bible said, you know, went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. The ninth hour. The ninth hour for us is 9 a.m. Sunday morning. We come together, we bend our knees, we war in the heavenlies. We need to align. If you want to be powerful prayer people, you need to align. We need to align. We need to come back to God. We need to hear Him. We need to obey Him. Then our prayers will be very powerful. But kalau kong cik babu lau lue. Unyai kalau kong lau sik kalau kong. Really? God will answer. But I tell you, God has given us this where effective, effectual prayer of a righteous person. A righteous person prays. I want to encourage. Let's come as a church. I want to see, you know, I think God is doing something here. I want to believe God is going to release a spirit of prayer over Fatih Spark. Okay? You are going to be stirred to pray. You are going to be stirred to pray because God has a function, a purpose for you and I. And I tell you, when we begin to do that, we will see wonders. The supernatural will begin to kick in. Alright, church? Alright, I better go on. So, it is biblical to have set times of prayer. So, please come, lah. Join all of us. Huh? No compulsion, of course, but it's a command. Lah. Okay? Sorry. Number two, forms of prayer. I don't want to go much into this, but there are different types of prayer in the Bible. Alright? Prayer of thanksgiving, petition, intercession, commitment, dedication, praying in faith, etc. But I just want to highlight something. Do you know the word prayer in this context comes from the Greek word prosuke, which means prayer and also worship. Alright? So when we come on Sundays to pray, we're going to intermingle praise, worship with prayer. We want to make it into like kind of a seamless flow and make it into a kind of a lifestyle, you know, that we do. Sometimes we praise the Lord, sometimes we sing to the Lord. Okay? Not that, oh, we say pray now, everybody pray. You know, and then another time we say worship, everybody worship. No, we want to get into that mood of prayer. Yeah? So, just take note of that. Alright, next one, I want to go on already, yeah? Number three, the force in prayer. In the Spirit, yeah? Now, I put inverted commas there, force, huh? Okay, for the sake of the four F's that I'm using, okay? I use the word force here to refer to the energizing work of the Holy Spirit in a prayer context. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a force. Ooh, I feel Him. Is that all He is? I feel the goosebumps. Is that all? The Holy Spirit is a person. A person. Not some energy or force. He is a person whom we can relate to. He has emotions. For example, He is grieved when we harbor bitterness in our hearts towards our brothers and sisters. He will cry when we do not step into the will of God and choose our own way. He has emotions. The Holy Spirit wants the best for you and for me. That's why we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because He will tell you of what's best for you and I. But would you listen? Would I listen? He will speak. So what is this praying in the Spirit? I cannot possibly share everything, alright? So I'll share from a few aspects, yeah? Number one, praying in the Spirit is praying under the leading and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always lead and inspire us to pray according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit who inspired the Scriptures will never lead us to pray anything that is contrary to the Word of God. I want to share this caption by Matthew Henry. All right, yeah. He says, "The Spirit in the heart never contradicts the Spirit in the Word. Those desires that are contrary to the will of God do not come from the Spirit. The Spirit interceding in us evermore melts our wills into the will of God." The next thing I want to talk about praying in the Spirit is this. The praying in the Spirit of God will always motivate us to pray in such a way that we will bring glory to God. John 16, 13, 14, if you want. And also, He will guide us to pray unselfishly. Because He manifests in us the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, peace, joy. And that will and that characterizes the praying in the Spirit. Right? The next point I want to make is that praying in the Spirit has got two aspects. Praying in spoken and unspoken expressions. I want to talk about spoken expressions. Now, Barry Chant, okay, I really like this guy. He wrote this. He is the I think president, all right, or the person who started Table Bible College in Australia. Okay, so he said this. He says it about these spoken expressions of praying in the Spirit. Paul's emphasis here is on thoughtful. Not yet, that one. This one first. Thoughtful, coherent prayer for all the saints. Thoughtful. Okay? Coherent prayer for all the saints. And of course, we can see that in the verse 6:18. Yeah? Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, there's a second type of praying in the Spirit, which is with unspoken expressions. Now, unspoken expressions of praying the Spirit can include groaning, which cannot be uttered, as seen in Romans 8:26b. It can also include crying, weeping, yearning, or even laughter. Okay, let's look at Romans 8:26-27. Everybody read this, please. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit prays for us. I don't know about you, but I constantly surround myself with people who pray. Because I know that I'm weak. And I need friends to make sure that I'm on track. Alright? Wam sika spiritual ko lua. What's I gonna need prayer? I know I need prayer. That's why I surround myself with people who pray. Because people who pray, they hear from God. And then when they hear from God, they can tell you when something is not right. When danger is coming. That's why we need to pray. I pray that Fatty Spark will be a praying church. And you and I will be praying people. The weakness in this passage refers to our inability to know what to pray and how to pray efficaciously. Therefore, the Spirit of God comes and takes over and makes intercession through you and me according to the will of God. Unless the Spirit of God comes and help us, our prayers will be futile. Now, let's look at what Barry says about this groan which cannot be uttered, yeah? This word uttered. It says the Greek adjective used here, alaletos, does not mean totally inexpressible. There is another word for that, elalos, unable to speak or dump. What it means is unable to be expressed in a rational speech. So the Holy Spirit enables us to intercede in ways which transcends normal linguistic forms. The phrase occurs in secular Greek, for example, to describe shared secrets of love. Okay, you better snap. This one cannot understand, man. You have to go home and slowly process, okay? So, but in the gist, this is what it's saying, okay? Although Paul describes the Holy Spirit here as interceding for us, he is also referring to the Holy Spirit interceding through us. That means God is not only interceding for us, our Holy Spirit, but He's interceding through us. That means He's using us as a vessel of His intercession. Alright, now we'll go to the next one. Important, huh? Sorry, I have to share this because wabuane lihai, sangat yang theologian. Okay, like the theologians, they know how to just go in and out, okay, with words. Okay, so I'm quoting from this guy, okay, which Barry quoted. Can we go on to Ertzman Murray, the epistle of the Romans to the Romans, 1973. Okay, listen with me. Okay, the groaning will have to be understood as the groaning which are registered in the hearts of the children of God. We cannot reasonably think of the Holy Spirit Himself apart from the agency and instrumentality of those on whose behalf He intercedes, as presenting His intercessions to the Father in the form of His own groanings. The reference to the heart in verse 27 clearly implies that the hearts are those of the children of God. It must be, therefore, in the hearts that the groaning take place, and the groanings are those of the saints. They are, however, the media of the Holy Spirit's intercession, and they ascend to the throne of grace in the form of groanings. All right, another one by John Calvin. You all know John Calvin, huh? Yeah? Okay, this is what he says about this thing. Not that he, the Spirit, actually prays or groans, but arouses in us assurance, desires, and sighs that to conceive which our natural powers could scarcely suffice. And Paul, with good reason, calls unspeakable these groans which believers give forth under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. John Calvin. Okay, everybody following me? That means sometimes when we pray, we may groan or sigh or cry. Alright, so it is sometimes the Holy Spirit working in us to create that, to energize that cry, that prayer. Okay? But sometimes it is also the cry of God. Okay? The cry of God through us and using us as instruments of prayer. Okay? Clear? Yeah? Okay, huh? So, can groan, right? Can, in the Spirit, huh? So, that's a part of praying in the Spirit. Now, the next one I want to go into is, you all always say that it's my area, so I might as well talk about it, lah. Okay? So, some people see Romans 8:26 as a reference to the prayer gift of speaking in tongues. Alright? This prayer gift of speaking in tongues can help a believer to express that which is, you know, limited in his vocabulary. Okay, although 1 Corinthians 14 deals with the proper use of tongues in a church public setting, Paul is also talking about the nature of speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14. Let us see what he says. Okay. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Sorry. The other one. Previous one. Thank you. Now, this is important. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Okay, this is only one dimension, of praying in the Spirit. Understand? It is not the only dimension of praying in the Spirit. Okay? It can include praying in tongues. This is my stand. Okay? Alright. So what does this thing say? Yeah? The passage states that praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit. And the prayer gift of speaking in tongues here is praying in a language that the human mind cannot understand. Okay? That is why Paul exhorts the Corinthians to pray that they may know how to interpret what they're speaking. And Barry Chan again, he says, essentially, it is an exercise of the human spirit. Hence, although there may not be mental comprehension, even on the part of the speaker, a valid form of prayer is still being offered. Okay? Okay. Let's go on. So what are some of the benefits of praying in the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 14:4 says that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He builds himself up. Okay, in Jude 20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes when I feel very down, when my mind is filled with depressing thoughts, you know, when my emotions just get me down, when I feel like the ceiling is just brass and I just cannot get through to God, you know what I will do? Especially if I need to minister, okay? I will just drive myself to a place. And there, I will just begin to pray in the Spirit. I just pray again and again. Until I find a release in my heart. Although I may not sense the release at that moment. Sometimes, a day or two later, I will begin to sense something different already in the realm of the Spirit around me. The connection is there already. Alright? So I want to encourage you, if you have this prayer language, use it. Use it. Our souls will be restored. Our spirits will be renewed, built up as we pray in the Spirit. We will become less prone to succumbing to temptations, and we become stronger in putting to death the misdeeds of the body. We will become more alert to the spiritual realm and be able to discern the information that we receive, whether they are of God or they are not of God. Another point I want to make, the benefits. Praying the Spirit releases the supernatural power of God. I'll give you a testimony. Yesterday only I was attending Alpha. And lo and behold, I'm supposed to share about Jackie Pullinger. And then there, Alpha in the video, Jackie Pullinger was talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so today I want to just share with you, why is it that when we pray in the Spirit, alright, and in this case, in her case, in praying in tongues, supernatural power is being released. She gave a testimony in her book, Chasing the Dragon. Now, Jackie Pullinger is a well-known, call it legend, in Hong Kong, right? Hong Kong people? Where are you? Outside, Hong Kong one. Where? Huh? Not inside here. Not inside Malaysia. Hong Kong. Jackie Pullinger. Jackie Pullinger. Thank God, man. Have you heard of Jackie Pullinger? Yes, huh? So she was a worker with all the, you know, the misfits of the society, like all the poor, the hungry, and also drug addicts, huh? So they call it the Walled City back then. So this is what she said. She said that she prays 15 minutes in tongues every day. But before she does that, she asks God, God, who should I pray for? Lead me to pray, you know, for whatever situation. And you know what happened? She says after 6 weeks of praying in tongues 15 minutes every day, she saw the results. Those she talked to about Christ believed. And then her Chinese, is he Amolang ma, right? Not? So her Chinese improved. Serious. She was a Caucasian and her Chinese began to improve. Alright, Jackie Pullinger is from the West. She came over to Hong Kong. Alright, so that's what she said. So, and this is the statement she said. Instead of my deciding what I wanted to do for God and asking His blessing, I was asking Him to do His will through me as I prayed in the language He gave me. There is power when we pray in the Spirit. I've done this a few times, okay? There's a few notable times. I remember, you know, I was praying for somebody like many miles away, not even near the person, didn't even lay the hands. I was praying for this particular brother because the Spirit of God began to stir in me a cry to pray for his spiritual state. And I remember as the Spirit of intercession came upon me, I cried, I prayed. And the next time when I saw this brother, He was touched by the Lord in the manner that I had prayed for him. Alright, so God was working. So if you have a prayer language, I advise you, I implore you, I ask you, not tomorrow, but today. Not for a week, but forever, until you are, when you're here on earth. I implore you, pray in the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, so that our prayers will be effective, spot on. Cut the ties of the enemy, full of authority. We need to do that, church, more than ever in the time and history of this church. May I say this again? More than ever before, we need to pray always in the Holy Spirit. Number four, I'm coming to the end. Focus in prayer. Being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Watchful, or being alert. As we pray, always, God is telling us to be alert. Listen to what the Spirit of God has to say about a situation. Okay? Then we can pray effectively. I want us to go to 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This verse tells us that we need to be on the alert and be watchful. In the Hebrew, the word watchful there means to be sleepless or wakeful. Because we have an enemy that is waiting to harm us and rob us of God's blessing. We need also to be aware of the devil's schemes and the way he thinks, so that we do not fall into his traps and be taken advantage of. Why is it that we need to know about the enemy's schemes? 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, this is not a looking for a demon under the rock theology, alright? We are not asking you to pray always, and then everywhere you go, you're not looking for demons everywhere, you know, and then, oh, you're so spiritual. Not like that. It is not like that, yeah? We need to be informed of the devil's wiles and scheme, the way he thinks, the original Greek says. But our focus must be on Jesus Christ. As we pray with watchfulness, God will alert us to the dangers and teach us how to pray and grant us a way of escape. How many of you are not tempted? One, you raise your hand. No, right? All tempted, right? Agree? All fallen, right? Okay, but God says He will provide a way of escape. Okay, but of course we need to be alert. We need to be watchful. We need to know what He's telling us to do. How to escape. Only you will know. Okay, personal application. Okay, so we look at this man. Adam, the first man of the Bible commissioned by God to keep the Garden of Eden, failed as a watchman. Agree or not? Agree, he failed. Otherwise, we wouldn't be struggling with sin today. He failed. How? Because God commissioned him to do what? To keep the garden. The Hebrew word for keep there is to watch. One of the Hebrew words of being to watch. Because Adam did not watch to preserve and protect the garden, the enemy took advantage and came in. And then tempted Eve, tempted him, and they together fall. So we got to be very careful, okay? We got to be alert. I'm going to share a very sad story with you. During the youth revival in this church many years ago, we had people coming to God, being saved, and Because the leaders, in my opinion, all right, because the leaders of the youth ministry, including myself, because we had not been watchful, one of our brothers actually turned away from the Lord. He got married to an unbeliever. And look at my face, you know what I'm talking about. And he renounced his faith. Spoke in tongues, you know, just to let you know, his brother. Spoke in tongues, huh? Mind. Huh? Jangan mind, no. But spoke in tongues, but then after that, can renounce Lord Jesus, you know, and embrace another faith. Why? I'm sorry to tell you, and I ask God for forgiveness, because we who are around him, we didn't watch over him. If we had prayed for him, we had been watchful, he would not have turned away from the Lord. Doesn't mean a person is saved, then no need to pray anymore. That's just the beginning of the journey. Finale, the last thing I want to say to you. Just want to share with you that so far that there is a connection between prayer and evangelism. I just want to give glory to God. You know, when Jeremy asked me to speak on prayer, you know, and me being kei gao, you know, I want to link it to evangelism because that's what we were, you know, trying to lead the church into. He talked about the Lord of the Harvest passage, but I cannot, no connection, you know, when I found the verse, when I looked at the verse. I couldn't preach on it because it didn't resonate with my spirit, all right? And then there's another verse that came was about Amos 9, talking about the rebuilding of the tabernacle of David. I couldn't preach that also, you know, because I wasn't knowledgeable enough, okay? But I feel that God was wanting to say something to us about the relationship between prayer and evangelism. So last Monday, I was struggling, I tell you, I was complaining to God. I said, God, don't like that, you know, don't give me this. You know, sometimes when you want something and you don't get it, you get very agitated, you get very frustrated. And that was the state of my being on Monday, even when I went to bed. But on Tuesday morning, after crying out, as I was sitting down in my room, I began to sense the presence of God just coming on me, you know. All right? And then, in my spirit, I was very excited because he was leading me to Ephesians 6:18. Okay, a verse that I know. And lo and behold, when I read 6-19, you know what it says there? And pray, if we pray from the beginning, it says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, for me, that was, yay! That was prayer and evangelism. Correct or not? How many of you have seen this before? Nobody, right? So this is God for me. It's like, this is a revelation. I never knew that it was there. But the Spirit of the Lord just began to take over, alright? So I'm very excited to share with you this. And so what does it say? It's about evangelism. Paul is asking the Ephesians to pray for him so that he may boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Perpetual prayer in the Spirit is much needed for breakthroughs in witnessing to pre-believers. We have to pray for both the laborers, that means the carriers of the gospel, and also for the harvest. Now, I tell you why we need to pray for the workers. The laborers are a lot, right? Workers are few, right? I tell you why, you know. Because a lot of the laborers, including I myself, we are not willing to do their job. That's why so few. Boami Chelang, I kong yaso. That's why I boani Chelang, I like Sinchu. Okay? This is true. Why? Because God has to prepare the vessel before He brings in the harvest. So this is where prayer is important. That's why I'm asking all of us to come. Sunday, 9 o'clock. Sacrifice the breakfast, never mind. Come. And after a season of prayer, I can tell you, there will be a difference. I guarantee you. There will be a difference in your spiritual life and my spiritual life. Pray. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit will also have to lead us to pray for the unbelievers. The passage is actually the passage about binding the strong man and then plundering his goods. Alright, we know this one is, this is already known, okay, that we need to pray for our unbelieving friends. Why? Because enemy actually blinds them from the truth of the gospel. So, when we come, when we pray at home, pray together. Anytime when you come, pray together. Pray that the eyes of the unbelievers will be open to the light of His gospel. Okay? So this is important, yeah? Alignment comes through prayer before assignment. Now, I want to end with this. You probably know it already, but I want to repeat it for the sake of, you know, giving a nice sermon. Okay? Can we look at the next slide, please? The Moravian Revival. In 1727, the Moravian community of Herrnhut, Saxony, initiated a prayer movement that would last for 100 years. You know how they do it? You take 1 hour, I take the next hour. And then somebody else takes another hour. But hour by hour, this perpetual prayer, this ceaseless supplication continued for 100 years. And then, so what? No results, sir. This is the result. After 65 years of perpetual prayer, a small Moravian community sent out 300 missionaries to the ends of the earth. Is there a connection between the prayer movement and the explosive evangelism movement? Yes or no? What do you think? Yes! Yes! We want revival? It's on our knees. There are people in this church who have been praying for revival for so long. You know what God wants to do? God wants to use you and God wants to use me to turn our community around. Our friends, at the daily friends that we meet, these are the people that God wants to save. That's why I want to encourage you. Start praying for those people that you are in contact with. The vegetable seller, the car mechanic, the sweeper on the roadside. These are the people God is wanting to save through you and through me. We have to make a choice to pray and also to evangelize. Prayer cannot just stop there. We pray, pray and then no need to say, no need to speak the gospel. I live my life like a gospel. Yes, I know the importance of living a life as a gospel, let people see your kindness. But the words must still be spoken. The message must still be spoken. They have to hear. And then the faith will arise. Then they will believe. Alright, so every Sunday, November, starting from November 5th, would you commit to make a change in your friend's life? Would you commit to make a change to this church? Would you commit to see the kingdom of God come on this earth? There is no greater joy than to see somebody coming into the kingdom of God. I have a student. I've been witnessing to him for he was with me 10 over years. He doesn't look very pleasant. He's kind of like a bit, I wouldn't want to use the word, he's kind of not distorted, yeah, but he's not very well formed, okay? If you look at him, he's, you may feel like kissy and you know, like you feel very sympathetic, yeah, because, but he came to learn from me, and I've been trying to talk to him, witness, 10 over years. Did I pray a lot? I'm sorry to say, I didn't really pray a lot. Okay, but every time when I had the opportunity, when there's a Christmas program or whatever, I will say, would you want to come? I will come and fetch you. And then every time, last minute, he will say, he's no show. But I waited, and I knew, I put my trust in God. I say, God, I in my heart, I was praying something like this, okay, that one day, God will save you. And true enough, 2 years ago, because he had a problem, he had problems in his life, he began to open up his heart to me and shared his problems in class. I could see God was working. His eyes were red. And I kept persisting. Do you want to receive Jesus? Do you want to receive Jesus? Finally, he accepted. And I haven't seen him for quite some time. The other day, his students did very well in his exams. And then I asked, did you thank God? You know what he replied? I already did. I already did. He is thoroughly saved. Because my friend and I, Lucy and I, we were praying for him. There is power in praying always with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit. And to be alert all times, at all times. Because God wants to download things into our hearts. My plea for you to you today is my challenge to you. Would you commit yourself to pray? Okay? I'll leave it to you. We have set times of prayer already. It's 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Would you come? And let's just labor in prayer. And see how the Spirit of the Lord moves through us and in this church. Alright? So let us pray. Let us pray. Okay, I'm going to do this, alright? I'm going to ask the spirit of prayer. Ask the Lord to release a spirit of prayer. Can I just share one more thing? I know I'm taking a bit. I think this is very essential. The spirit of prayer. Let me just explain to you what is this spirit of prayer when it comes upon you. Early this year, when we were at a meeting, a prayer meeting, corporate prayer meeting, 9 o'clock, I came. Okay, not always, but I came. That day, I was leading worship, and as I was singing Holy Spirit Come, the Spirit of the Lord began to change my prayer, you know, and began to help me to pray these words. Lord, may you release your spirit of prayer over the church. Now, little did I know that Lan Fun, during that week, through a speaker, Pastor Honey, is it? There's a speaker who also said that before you can establish the form of prayer, that means the 24/7 prayer, you must have the spirit of prayer. Now, today, now, before you just come like Sunday, yeah, you'll be wondering, you know, you come Sunday, 9 o'clock, very mechanical, right? But with the spirit of prayer on you, it becomes seamless. It becomes a part of you. We must have the spirit of prayer before we can actually do all this structured prayer. Do you get what I'm saying? All right? So, I want to ask the worship team, come, quick. Let's sing Holy Spirit Come once, and then I want to pray for the people. Okay? Come on, let's just rise. Let's just rise. I believe God is going to release this. There will be breakthroughs in your life. I want to release this word. God will not lead you to a place where His grace cannot keep you. For some of you here, God will not lead you to a place where His grace cannot keep you. You get what I'm saying? All right, did you catch that? God will not lead you to a place where His grace cannot keep you. All right, so let's just sing this once and then we'll pray and then we'll go. Holy Spirit, come, G. want you to really cry out to God. All right? You doesn't matter if you feel sinful, the spirit of prayer can still come on you. All right? I wasn't living right when the spirit of God came upon me and changed me. All right? So God wants to give you that prayerfulness attitude so that wherever you go, you have this constant communion with Him. All right? Let's sing this.
Holy Spirit, come like falling rain upon my face. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Like a dove, take me away.
Like a dove, take me away.
Into the Father's arms.
To the Father's arms
and warm embrace,
and warm embrace.
Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come.
Come and have your way.
And come and have your way.
Come anoint me.
Come anoint me and fill me and make me whole. Come and touch me, empower me to do the Father's will.
Come anoint us.
Come anoint us. And fill us and make us whole. Come and touch us, empower us to do the Father's will.
Okay, let me just pray right now. Everybody agree in prayer, okay? God told me this year that He's going to do something this year that you have never seen before in the history of Fellowship Park. Now, for that to take place, we got to be connected. We got to press into God. We need to pray. We need to pray, church. We need to pray. You want to see breakthrough? You want to see the church grow? How can you do it without prayer? How can you do it when the life is not aligned? Cannot. Not possible. We have to bend our knees. We have to pray, church. Father, we pray today. Let it be a moment, oh God, a landmark moment, oh God, where we tell you in our hearts, oh God, that we need to pray, Father, because we want to see your glory upon this church. We want to see your glory upon the whole community. We want to see your glory in Penang. We want to see your glory in Malaysia. We want to see your glory, oh God, over all the parts of the earth, oh God. And Lord, we say we are willing to pray. We are willing to bend our knees, oh God, in prayer so that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And right now, God, I pray that you release the spirit of prayer over your people right now, that there will be a stirring of prayer. Oh God, that they will find it, oh God, difficult to even sleep, oh God, because you are stirring all of us to pray, to be watchful. Father, I pray for the release of this anointing. That the people of Fetis Park, oh God, will be known as a people with a prayer culture. A people who's constantly connected to our Lord God Almighty. Father, we want to praise you and we want to thank you for today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit, words, oh God. And your healing power, oh God. I want to pray and that you will just dismiss us as we go our separate ways. But before you go, I want to invite three people here. Lan Phun, John, and Pastor Sing Hock. Can you all please come? Lan Phun, Pastor Sing Hock, and John. Pastor Sing Hock, I want us to pray for all of us, okay? We're going to pray. We are going to be the prayer leaders for the Sunday prayer, okay? Then after that, I'm going to ask them to do something. Come out. Let's ask God to bless them, to help them to lead us into prayer. Okay, join me. Father, I pray, God, for your anointing, the spirit of prayer to be upon myself, Anil Lafoon, John, and the Pastor Sing Hock, and whoever else who's leading. The elders, come too, Jeremy and Chun. Father, we ask for the spirit of prayer to be heavily vested upon all of us. That we are, those of us who are taking the lead in prayer, that we will be very prayerful, that we will know the movements of your Holy Spirit, how you lead and how you guide, Lord. I pray that you will just connect us together in united hearts, oh God, in oneness in prayer. Father God, never like never before, we ask you to move this church. We ask you to shake away things that are not of you in our lives. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we ask for your glory to descend. We ask you to come and just bless us with your anointing, Lord. 充满我们, Lord. God, just release your grace upon us. Lord, I just commit all this and we lay them into your loving hands. We praise you and we thank you. Now, we have dismissed, but those of you who feel like you need a boost in your spiritual life, in prayer, I want to invite you to come and let one of these prayer warriors pray a prayer of impartation for you. Okay, it is. If you find that you have been dry, you cannot move in your spiritual life, come out to be prayed for, okay? Lord has anointed these with spirit of prayer. They pray for you, things will change. Alright, amen? Alright, so we are off. We're going to continue worshipping. But if you want to go, you can go already, okay? So we'll open this time up for our time ministry. If you want to be prayed for, please come forward.